and is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Dr. Drew Pinsky.
Dr. Drew has his work cut out for him.
Loveline. With Dr. Drew, Mike, and Simone. 1-800-LOVE-191.
We're not stopping. We're just getting started.
Hey, everybody. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number to call us up here in the Trojan Studios. How are you, everybody? It is the one, the only Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191 is that number. Call us up if you have a question for me, Michael Dwight Cathwood. But more importantly, call us up if you have a question for these two people I'm pointing at in the studio with me. Very well dressed, very beautiful, very educated. One of them just got off her penny farthing from foggy London town. She is sex and relationship therapist Simone Bien. I believe that everything is creepier whispered. I don't know how, if I'm going to say the words, I've got a boner. It just sounds worse whispered.
And I think it sounds better.
A man who agrees with me but doesn't want to admit it with his voice is looking at me with those beautiful eyes. He's Peter Frosted, muscular. He's everything men want to be. He's everything women want. I'm talking about Dr. Drew Pinsky, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
One of my favorite characters in television is that little kid on...
Is it
the middle? No, the middle. The kid that goes, "Mommy like a banana."
Like a banana.
He whispers the last two or three words of everything
yes.
he says. It's such a great, great little tick.
I just don't know what it is about whispering that makes things creepier.
Don't know what it is.
We may have stumbled on something here, but for the show's own good. Tonight, very special show. One of the people that I enjoy most having on the show. He's been on the show. He reminded us. Seven times. This will be his seventh appearance. He is a motivational speaker. He is a writer. He is a musician. I'm talking about Andrew W.K.
That's right.
Joining us very soon.
He's an entrepreneur. Destroy, build, destroy, don't forget.
I get wet tour.
Destroy, build, destroy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry.
From Cartoon Network. But more importantly, the I Get Wet tour is about to kick off. It's the 10th anniversary of his debut album, his landmark album, I Get Wet. And he's doing a whole tour surrounding it. The open forum happening in just under an hour. How do you initiate sex? We took a phone call a couple shows ago from a young man who was really upset at how his girlfriend initiates sex. The way she was just so blunt about it, so coarse about it, it turned him off. So there has to be a right and a wrong way to properly initiate sex. We'd like to know what you feel it is. That is during the open forum where you, the Loveline audience, take over the show and really fill us in on how you feel. And tonight's open forum topic, how do you initiate sex? Again, Andrew W.K. on the show, joining us very soon. Laura, thank you for calling Loveline.
Hi.
Hi. Are you in a wind tunnel?
No, sorry. I am outside right now. I had a question because I was wondering if what you guys thought about my situation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out whether I should go back to my job of stripping or stay with my boyfriend who isn't supportive of me going back to work. So we probably wouldn't last if I went back.
I don't understand the question yet. We need more information. Are you happy with your boyfriend?
Yeah, like, I love him, and he loves me, but I really miss my job, and I want to go back. And he told me that if I went back, like, he would break up with me.
Can you understand how he may have a point? Because if we just look at things in a black and white sense without getting any more details, you can understand how he might not want you showing your body off to other men. And
yeah,
perhaps he thinks you're worth more than stripping?
Yeah, but at the same time, like, I did a lot better for myself, like, because I could pay for my bills on my own, and
this is the problem with
dancing when I met him.
This is the problem with all this, which you were dancing when you met him?
Yeah.
Yeah, this happens all the time. Guys meet these girls dancing and go, oh, I can handle it. Then they get involved, they can't handle it. But I'll tell you what, it is so common that women get into these sexual industries, whatever they might be, whether it's stripping or porn or whatever, and the lifestyle hooks them. The money and the lifestyle hooks them. They get addicted to it, and they can't let go. And here you are, Laura. You're trying to do some healthier things. You're trying to take care of yourself. You're trying to have a real relationship, and you're going to sabotage that because of the money and the lifestyle. Oh, well, you might want to look at that motivation and what's motivating you besides the money and the lifestyle to go back to something like that.
I also think a lot of times guys, they say, I can deal with it. I can deal with it. But there is also the times when guys in the back of their head believe, well, it's only a matter of time if her dating me, and I'll get her out of it.
Of course.
I'll change her.
No, of course.
I'm the one who's going to change her.
Whatever the little subliminal messages they're telling themselves, it all changes when they actually get involved.
It all changes.
And it's this whole thing, like footballers' wives or sportsmen's wives, women who stick with their husbands despite the fact they cheat, because the money and the lifestyle and the status becomes more important than integrity and the relationship.
Unless they come to America and people laugh at them because they married to a soccer player.
But I mean, like, here, the equivalent. But the equivalent here, you have it here. You've had.
Vanessa Bryant, she's sticking around for one reason and one reason only. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Laura, look, you know the conflict that you're dealing with, and we can't answer that question for you. Is he more important than the money? That's what you got to figure out.
And I just hope she sees that she is more important than the money. That maybe, you know, at 21 years old, she could have a wonderful career doing something that she was passionate, aside from taking her clothes off.
I'm sorry to go back to this call again, but Laura, here's another thing. You sound like a very reasonable, very smart girl. You're not incapacitated in any way. I understand the money's better than what you probably could be doing outside of that industry, but you're perfectly capable of finding another job, another way of making money. Initially, it might not be as good a money, but you could find other ways to make money.
Yeah, I've had other jobs. Like, I worked at Hooters, and I'm working as a hostess right now, but it's just not as good.
Of course. I mean, it's not as much initial money, but, I mean, you just got to weigh the consequence and dividend. Adam, thank you for calling Loveline. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So here's the situation. I have this dog, and every time my girlfriend and I have sex, and I pull out and I'll come on her, and he'll go ahead and jump up on the bed and start eating it up.
Yes, I know this sounds gross, and I know this guy sounds like he's joking, but I know firsthand that there are certain dogs that really do love it. And Adam, bottom line, cage up that dog when you're about to do it.
I mean, well, really, is that something that's completely unhealthy for the dog?
No.
My girlfriend's like, whatever, I don't care.
Adam, stop it.
I'm a little bit like, whatever. This is a little bit gross to listen to. But the point is, just like you wouldn't have children coming into the bedroom.
Take appropriate action.
You really shouldn't have your dogs coming in because it distracts you from each other. Any kind of distraction in sex ain't good.
That's true. Very true.
Yeah, and end of story. Put the dog in a crate while you're having sex.
My girlfriend will be sad. Hey, I love you guys. I listen all the time. Thanks
I love you back, brother. I love you back. Some dogs love that stuff. I hate to be more...
But with the dog in the crate, what they can do is just shut the bedroom door and then maybe stick the TV on for the dog to watch, because she sounds like she's a little bit like me with dogs, where you feel bad putting the dog in a crate.
Yeah, but it's much better for the dog. Dog, their sense of safety in the crate.
Dog dogs love their crate.
Yeah.
They go back to it all the time.
Be an informed dog owner, Simone. Come on. Hey, Ashley, what's up?
Hi. I was calling because I am about 22 weeks pregnant, and this is my second child with the same guy, and every time we have sex, it's almost as if it's like unbearable for me. Half the time, it hurts too bad to, like, you know, let him finish his business, and I feel bad. And then the other half the time, it seems like I get so aggravated.
The same experience you had last time you were pregnant?
No, actually, last time
What's hurting?
It's uncomfortable. Like, it constantly feels like either I have to go to the bathroom, or, like, my back starts hurting, or just, I don't know. It seems like I'm disinterested in it after it starts happening. And
I'm really bad at math. I'm sorry. You're like 5.5 months pregnant?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And so you're last big.
And last time during your third trimester, did you start to feel a little better?
I did. Last time, during the whole pregnancy last time,
you were good to go.
Everything was fine. Yeah.
You need to stop having sex, and you need to talk to your obstetrician.
Okay.
Something's not right.
Okay.
Maybe you have a bladder infection. Maybe there's something. Maybe the placenta's previa. Maybe there's something going wrong here. You need the fact that you have back pain. That's very, very concerning.
Ashley, that's Dr. Drew talking. Seriously, go see a doctor, okay? For your sake and for the baby's sake. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Andrew WK will be joining us very soon. You can watch this show as well as listen to it. Go to lovelineshow.com. Great content as well as a live video stream. Remember, hit us up on Twitter. Simone works very hard at updating that Twitter all day with Loveline useful stuff. @Simone_BN. Dr. Drew and I, not so much, but we're still on there. At Dr. Drew, at Mike Catherwood, and then at Loveline is how you follow us as a collectively as a whole. Hey, Casey, thank you for calling Loveline.
Hey, Dr. Drew, Simone.
Hey.
Mike.
What up?
How's it going? I got a quick question. I received an injury to my urethra, and I actually had a catheter for about 4 months.
Oh, good old urethra Franklin.
Did you have a urethral stricture or something?
No, I totally severed it
on
my taint in between my testicles and my anus.
What'd you do?
I fell on a pole playing handball.
Wow, this is like a skater's injury.
Yeah, I was going to say, or dirt biking.
Yeah.
Yeah, dirt bike. Steve-O received the same injury.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah. He's good, though.
So this is the problem.
Never anything you should ever say, people. That's never a good thing when you say Steve-O has the same injury.
Yes.
That's always a bad
whatever
thing.
Whatever the
anytime,
injury might be.
Anytime someone can say Knoxville or Steve-O has the same thing as me,
yeah.
Bad.
Yeah.
Unless it's money. All right, Casey. So what Casey, does Dr. Drew need to do?
What's happening
now? What do you need to do, Dr. Drew?
Okay, so I have a girlfriend, and we've already worked past the issue of not having sex in our relationship, which is really hard at our age.
Why can't you have sex?
I can't get an erection at all.
Whoa, hold on. You need to go. Have you been talked to anybody about that?
Yeah, I actually I have a doctor, but he gave me a couple some Viagras, like
No, listen, there's tons of stuff to be done. There's injectable stuff you can put in there, something called Caverjack. There's a lot you can do, Casey. That's ridiculous. You need to go back to the urologist and get this taken care of. Okay.
I was wondering if it was a psychological thing.
No. This is an injury. You clearly got some nerve damage also, and that needs to be managed.
But like when I masturbate, I can get more of an erection than when I actually try and perform with.
Well, that's great. Then you need to kind of work the two together. But still, you need some more help from the doctor in terms of getting an erection that you can rely upon. Got it? There's a ton to be done. You don't just stop with the Viagra if that didn't work.
And I think do what Dr. Drew says. Go to the urologist. Just get things doubly checked out.
And by the way, make sure you take 100 milligrams of Viagra. Make sure you take it 30 minutes before you want to have sex. Make sure you take it on an empty stomach. I mean, these are all things you got to be going over these things and make sure you're optimizing therapies. And then you go to the injectables.
And then when you are having sex, if you get distracted, try and pick up a fantasy of you and your girlfriend making out when it was really successful.
Once he injects Caverjack, there's no distracting.
Good.
It's good.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number to call us up here. There are two very important websites you need to go to. One of them is lovelineshow.com, where you can see the live video stream. The other is andrewwk.com, the website for our guest, Andrew WK, who joins us straight ahead. You need to find out when the I Get Wet Tour is coming to your neck of the woods. Andrew WK joining us next on Loveline.
More Loveline on the way.
Motivational speaker, television host, musician. He is a great man. He is a great, great man and a great Loveline guest. I'm talking about the one, the only Andrew WK.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much.
I Get Wet Tour is on and popping, celebrating the 10th anniversary of the landmark album, I Get Wet. You got to go to Andrew WK to find out all the tour dates. It is all over the place, man. Huge, huge tour. Thank you for coming in once again, brother.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Now, I was trying to think earlier, is this the 6th, 7th? I mean, it's got to have been.
Drew, I think we're in New York a couple times even.
There was, yes,
yeah,
there was that.
So.
They were all the way back with Adam. Even I'm saying we're over half a dozen now.
Yes, I'd say yes.
And it just keeps getting better.
You know why? Because you are a guy who is accustomed to giving advice and it doesn't really shy away from kind of diving into to the deep end when it comes to the callers.
I will dive very deep.
And now I have to ask you about that, because I've certainly, when I joined this show, felt a weird burden. Not burden. I felt a weird, almost intimidation to kids calling me up,
sure.
in particular kids, and then really investing themselves in my advice.
Right, right, right.
How do you deal with that, especially when you're touring and doing the motivational speaking? Because I know kids have been pretty outward to you that your words are gospel.
Well, I mean, there's the questions like, how do I ask out a girl, or is it okay to do this or do that in terms of sex or lifestyle choices or career? But there's also been questions like, my best friend just killed themselves yesterday and I don't know what to do. I'm not prepared to answer that, but I can still try to connect with the person as a human being and just comfort them.
Right.
So at the very least, you hope that you can offer just general comfort and look into their eyes, if nothing else, and not turn away, no matter how intense it gets. And it is intense, but, you know, it's the least you can do if someone chooses to open up to you that way.
Is there a reason why you can't look in my eyes? You have to wear the glasses.
Yes, because I'm intimidated by your handsomeness.
That's exactly the answer I was looking for.
Blinded.
Not exactly the answer I was looking for.
Okay, blinded.
No, as you said, you are a guy who is not afraid to connect. Are you ready to do so with our callers?
Let's do it.
Let's get it on. Andrew WK joining us, andrewwk.com. The official website. Stephanie, thank you for calling Loveline.
Hi.
What up?
Hello.
My future in-laws, they have been divorced for 17 years. The other woman that broke up their marriage is still with his father. They're not married. She's still with her husband. And she's caused nothing but problems in our relationship by, you know, butting where she doesn't belong and not showing up to holidays and causing drama. And I'm at the point where I don't know how to deal with her, to deal with, you know, the constant butting. It was one of the ugliest divorces, from what I've heard, among everybody. And I really don't know how to deal with the situation.
Give us an example of the last butting.
Yeah.
Well,
the buttress of Windsor.
The wedding.
What happened?
And we went to lunch together talking about our wedding plans. And she just, out of nowhere, started talking about how evil his mother is. And I was like, you haven't talked to her in 17 years. You know, she's a good person. And she waited for my fiance to get up to go to the restroom to tell me that I need to choose whose side I'm on and that she's...
Oh, geez.
Wait, I'm confused. This is his stepmom?
It's no relation.
His, not even a stepmom. She's the girlfriend of 17 years that they're not married, and she's still a part of her husband's life.
I can't follow this.
A lot of characters.
She is your fiance's dad's girlfriend?
Yes.
And the mom is where?
The mom hasn't talked to him in 17 years.
To your fiance.
No, she's talked to my fiance.
The dad.
To the dad. All right, I got it.
Listen, Stephanie, you are taking on a lot of chaos here with these in-laws.
Yes, I am, and I don't know
and
how to deal with
here's
it.
How you don't, here's how you deal with it, by not dealing with it. You stay out of it.
Yeah, you step back. And if anything, it should be the fiance that would say something,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got to tell your boyfriend, your fiance, that, you know, you're feeling sort of... what's the word?
Thrown under the bus?
Well, no, she doesn't get thrown under the bus yet, but that she could get thrown under the bus.
They're setting it up.
Right.
The
and
bus
he
is
has
revving
to
its
step
engine.
Up and manage his family and protect his future wife. Okay?
They're testing her.
And she's recently started a fire where I lied about what she said about his mother to his brother, and it's like
I
myself completely.
I don't want this family tree of yours to grow on our radio show, okay? It's already so confusing to me.
Stephanie, I think it's very important, because what it sounds like this woman is doing is really ganging up on the other women and really trying, as exactly as Dr. Drew and Andrew is saying, trying to create chaos. You have to put a stop to it now, because when you involve children, that's when these women can get really out of control.
Simone, Andrew, and Dr. Drew, I am going to, out of personal curiosity, and I think to help enlighten the audience, I'm going to ask three happily married people, how do you walk that fine line of respecting the in-laws without alienating yourself from your spouse?
I'll be the first one to say my wife's family has been amazing. They've all been nice, even when they've been weird or said strange things. They've never made me be a part of it, and I've made it very clear that I have no interest in it, and I have better things to do, and I'll just get up and walk away. I won't engage in it. Once you show that you won't play those games, people won't play them with you. If you get involved in the drama, then they will.
Yeah. I've locked horns with my mother-in-law. I adore her. I love her very much. She's good fun. And I've told her, I love your son. I also want the best for your son. We both want the best for your son. Trust me, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's it really is the, and that's like with children, you just got to establish that it doesn't matter how badly we lock horns, I ain't going anywhere. That that is something, Drew. I mean, have you ever in that position?
Sure, and then you do as the particularly as the husband have to step up a little bit.
Yeah,
you got to make sure that you're trying to establish a new family. That's your priority.
See, that's interesting to hear it from that point of view, as in from the man's point of view.
Yeah, you've got to get your priorities really clear, and it doesn't mean being mean to anybody, but you got to have your priorities right.
All right. It's good advice.
Makes sense to me. It's like a meet the parents.
Yeah.
that's what they're playing with there. That is.
It's wonderful.
I have nipples, Craig. Can you milk me? Andrew WK is our guest tonight. Call us up, 1-800-LOVE-191. Philip, thank you for calling Loveline. What's popping?
Oh, man, I just got a real quick question for you guys. I was with a girl for 5 years. Got engaged after those 5 years, found out she was cheating on me. We just had a son after this, found out the son was mine. I broke up with her, haven't seen him like 2 years, and the only way I can see him is if I get back with her. I don't know what to do. I've been struggling with this.
Hold on here, everybody. I'm just doing the math quickly as this guy skates past. You were together for 5 years. You have a one-year-old son whom you haven't seen for 2 years. I'm just going to casually say that you've been with this girl since you were 13.
Oh,
I'm 22.
It says 21 on the board here. Okay, 14.
Yes.
Okay. You've been with her since you were 14. Oh, my God. Philip, come on, man. You've lived the life of a 50-year-old from New Jersey.
Wow.
Particularly Jersey for some reason.
I don't know why that came to me. That's what I'm thinking about for the sound off, I guess. But, Philip, for God's sakes, what kind of life have you led?
It sounds intense.
I was raised to pretty much be older than I was. I had to pretty much take care of my grandfather pretty much when I was 12. And
yeah, Drew, and that's just only from an outsider's point of view. When you become de facto caretaker, it prematurely matures you in a bad way.
Bad way. Being parentalized is traumatic, and this kid is not only parentalized, something is like grand parentalized.
Yeah. Holy,
taking care of the whole family. So, Philip. You, of course, made bad choices. You got involved with what Mike would call a muchacha mala.
Oh, yeah.
and now you have a child. You have rights. I guess you have to get an attorney and assert those rights.
I already went through that. I was in the military at the time, and I tried getting custody, but...
No, not custody. Really, not custody. Visitation.
Oh.
That's what a lawyer would do.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I haven't even tried to...
All right, let's do that. You're not going to get custody. That's not likely.
A simple solution.
Thanks. All right, buddy. I appreciate that.
Dr. Drew, he's on and popping. He's on and popping.
Wow.
Hey, Angie, thank you for calling.
I spent all weekend with teen moms doing teen mom reunions last weekend.
Okay, that's right. I saw that.
How do you know that?
Well, I saw...
was I twittering about it or something?
No. I was watching MTV. It was the...
That was a reunion we did last summer.
Okay.
I'm doing new ones now this last week. These kids have gone on another year since that. Yes. But thank you for watching that.
Hey, Drew, you know, that actually brings something up that I wanted to run by you, and then in turn run it by Andrew. How do you, Drew, not allow that to get stale in your own brain, doing those over and over again, kind of the same thing?
It's like this.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're people having
human beings.
Human beings having very intense experiences. I can't forget stale. I'm completely invested.
But it's almost like, you know, how would Drew not get bored of dealing with addicts? Because everyone is...
It's a human being having an intense experience.
Because that becomes work. And then you tell yourself, I have to do this tonight. And regardless if I'm tired or if I've done this 1,000 times, you readjust and you realize someone's life depends on it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like performing aspect of it. Andrew, how do you tour to the same places over and over again?
I've been wondering that myself, because I've played some of these songs, like our song Party Hard, literally thousands of times now, and not to mention recording it and overdubbing it and working on it. There's something in there that remains fresh, even if it's playing it for one new person. Even if everyone in that room has seen it a billion times, but there's one guy who hasn't heard the song, it keeps it alive. And like Dr. Drew was saying, it's a human experience, like a snowflake. They're all individual, and you want to keep it fresh in any way you can.
Yeah.
You can always walk away, though,
like
Drew. You can always quit. You know, he doesn't have to do it.
Well,
he
those kids I feel invested in, too. I mean, I really feel like I'm, you know.
Integrity, duty, an obligation.
All right.
There something like that.
I feel very humbled because you guys are such magnanimous and great people.
And I feel really, really cool.
Yes, you should. You're wearing sunglasses.
The worse you feel, the better I feel. Now, what's that all about?
He feels cool. Speaking of the worse you feel, the better I feel, I actually want to talk to Andrew about bullying, and we will do that straight ahead with Andrew WK, our guest tonight, AndrewWK.com. You have to go because you need to find out when the I Get Wet tour comes to your town. This is a big-time tour, and if you haven't seen Andrew WK live, you are truly missing out. You must do it. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. More with Andrew WK straight ahead on Love One.
To you by Trojan Bearskin Condoms. With trusted Trojan brand quality, they're an amazing 40% thinner than our standard condoms, bringing couples closer than ever before.
Love Line with Dr. Drew. We'll be right back.
Love Line, everybody. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Simone Bien, sex and relationship therapist, is right here in front of me. So is Dr. Drew Pinsky, board-certified physician and all-around cool guy. Badass, very talented man. A guy I love having in studio. Mr. Andrew WK is joining us as well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I Get Wet Tour is coming to your town. I guarantee it. You got to go to AndrewWK.com to find out when and how you can get your hands on some tickets. You're a guy who has your own style. You have your own stage presence, and you've never really kind of conformed to what I would imagine, you know, management and the music industry as a whole probably wants you to do. They probably want you, because you're a handsome dude. You could have cool Kings of Leon duds, but you wear you dress like a out-of-work painter. And
exactly. Or a butcher. Could be a butcher.
And you know, but you've always done it since day one. Since the first time I saw you on Warped Tour, you had your basketball shoes and your all-white outfit, and you were proud of the fact that you didn't shower and stuff. So I would imagine...
That's what Michael calls the Andrew WK uniform.
That's right. The Andrew WK uniform. And you have the smell of your on-tour clothes was Pavlovian. It made you feel like
the pheromones.
But I would imagine when you do things in such a unique fashion, you are setting yourself up for insults and whatnot. And how do you deal with the idea of like bullying and people, you know, talking trash about you?
Well, I mean, I went through so much of that in those earlier years, like school, that I guess I was prepped and ready to stand up and see my own vision through, regardless of what other people thought. And believe me, there were those moments at record labels where some higher up would say, I'm going to take you shopping. I'll show you how to dress yourself, as though I really didn't know, like, that there were other clothes to wear besides white jeans and T-shirts. But you just, the best thing I learned, and then kind of what I learned from the bullies, is it's not really ignoring them or placating them. It's trying to find some common ground. And actually, a big motivation with the whole Andrew WK adventure has been, how can I reach people that I wouldn't otherwise reach, or that they wouldn't like me in other circumstances, or I might not even like them? Sort of like the opposite of what Kurt Cobain felt with Nirvana, that all of a sudden all the people that bullied him were now fans of his music, and he couldn't stand it.
Right.
I really wanted to reach these guys. Like, I lived in a, you know, grew up in Ann Arbor, where there were a lot of fraternities, and they would really give me a hard time and call me all kinds of horrible names walking down the street. But I wanted to make music that they liked, that actually would find a way so that we could be in a room together and think, how did I ever get in this room with these guys and actually have fun? And it's worked, amazingly enough. It's the power of music.
And is it gratifying to kind of turn the corner and become friends with these guys, that, you know, or at least similar guys that to the ones who pushed you around?
It is, because you want to find, to me, I don't like confrontation, and I'd rather find some common ground. And a song or a dance or even laughter, especially if I can humiliate myself first, it takes their edge off. I don't think they really want to be bullies. Most bullies, I don't think, are really enjoying that experience unless they're true sadists. It's more just confusion. And once you see that other person as a human or as having something good that you can relate to, it takes away that. that bad vibe.
And that's the advice you'd give to a young boy who's dealing with the same thing, like in high school?
Or? I would just find some way to use that to empower you. I'd find some way to use the bullying or the bad feelings or the negativity and put it towards something positive. That's what I had to try to do always.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much for those enlightening words. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. If you have a question you'd like to run by Andrew WK, do it. Pick up the phone. Call the Trojan Studios, 1-800-LOVE-191. Angie, thank you for calling Loveline.
Oh, thank you for answering.
No problem.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up? Gotcha.
Yeah, hello.
Okay, so I have to say, though, by the way, Andrew, I love your voice.
Oh, thanks. I was just doing it for you.
Oh, thanks. but my question is, I'm interested in this guy, so I asked him out if he wanted to hang out. We've been on 4 dates. Every time we hang out, it's not like go to dinner, okay, he drops me off. It's like we hang out for hours. And there's always something to talk about. It's really easy, nice, easy going. But he's not the type of person to really use a phone.
So?
And it kind of bugs me because every time I want to talk to him or text him or hang out with him,
smokestack,
I have to initiate it.
I was going to say, the picture you're describing is of you running this relationship. And my concern is, it's very early days. If he's kind of lazy now, I hate to think what he may be like as the relationship develops and goes on.
Was it lazy to not want to have long, protracted phone conversations?
It's lazy not to initiate and to be engaging with Angie.
I see.
From my perspective.
Right, no, of course, of course. I mean, I used to talk on the phone a lot more, and then I don't really like it as much anymore. I used to have hour and hours and hours of phone conversations with friends, with girlfriends, with my parents. My mom and dad actually are the only people I really have real long phone conversations with. Otherwise, writing a letter or like an email is kind of more fun.
Yeah, here's what we need to get to the core of, Angie. Is he a guy who really isn't, like Simone says, is engaging and is also involved in helping the relationship grow but just doesn't talk on the phone? Or is he a guy who uses not talking on the phone as a way of isolating himself from
it? Right.
No, every time I call, he answers. Every time he texts, he answers me back. Every time we're hanging out, he's the one to make the first move, whether it be watching a movie, starting a conversation, or making out, anything like that. He's the one to start all of that whenever we're together. But to get us together, I'm the one who has to initiate that.
Have you brought it up with him?
Not yet, because we've only been on about 4 or 5 dates for about a month long. We've been talking and dating. And I don't really feel quite comfortable doing that so soon.
It's a tricky one. For me, I still stand by the thinking that I just think it should be more shared effort during this crucial dating period, because this is when you're selling your whole self. And it's great that he engages with you when you're actually out and he initiates and he, you know, comes up with ideas of what to do. But I think you should speak to him and say, you know what, I've noticed. Is it just me? Am I being a girl? Or you know, is he shy? Does he think you won't be interested? It could be to do with the fact that he doesn't have good self-esteem or high self-esteem. So maybe you could help him out there.
Isn't it always good? You guys agree with me, gentlemen. Good way to start that kind of conversation with, like, what are we doing here? Kind of like, it leaves it open-ended.
Casual.
Like, yeah, what are we doing?
Lighthearted.
What is our intention? Are we just going to be completely, just date occasionally? Just testing to make sure we're all in the same place.
Yeah. Throw it out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very mature thing to do, and it helps both people involved get clarity. You know, there's really no downside. I am at Facebook.com/Loveline, the Loveline Facebook page. Travis Jackman, a very nice young man, wants to say, thank you, Andrew WK, for throwing me off your shoulder in Vancouver. Please tell him that I was concussed.
Wow.
So thank you.
I apologize for the concussed state that I put you in, if in fact I did. I have no memory of a shoulder push, so it could have been someone that looked a lot like me. There were other people there with long hair and all white clothing.
Dot, dot, dot. best concert I've ever been to.
Now we're talking. That's what I wanted to hear. Well, he has a, he's a good sport and a tough, tough, tough cookie.
1-800-LOVE-191. Don't get it twisted. Andrew WK is, in fact, our guest. The 10th anniversary of his debut album, I Get Wet, is being celebrated with a massive tour, the I Get Wet Tour. Find out when it's coming to your town. Go to Ticketmaster.com to pick up tickets. AndrewWK.com is the official website. More with Andrew WK. Andrew sounds off. Straight ahead on Loveline.
Loveline is coming back.
All I care about is the sex. Loveline.
Everybody, it's Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Coming up very soon, Drew sounds off.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Plus, our open forum tonight, a good one. How do you initiate sex? What's the right way to do it? Without offending your partner, without being too overbearing, without being too vague, how do you initiate sex? 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Andrew WK is our guest. Billy, thank you for calling Loveline.
Hey, how's it going?
What up?
Okay, I had a question. I was with this girl for like a couple weeks, and like, she was a really cool girl. You know, she was real chill, like normal, seemed normal. But then when it came down for us to have sex, you know, or when we were gonna have sex, she would just start saying nasty stuff, like, and then scratch me and stuff, like try and be romantic or whatever. But it turned out to be kind of scary. I was wondering, is that normal for a person to act like that when it came to sex?
No, it reminds me of what was the sportscaster that got himself in
Albert.
Marv Albert.
Yes.
Thought the girl was just into it, but when he went along with it, it ended up traumatizing her, and she blamed him.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, that's what they call a freak, right? Like, she turns out she's a freak.
Yes.
I've always kind of fantasized about that. In fantasy, it sounds exciting, but I can imagine in person, not only is it scary, but you don't really know what to do. You don't know how to respond to that. If you haven't had that kind of relationship, even intimately, it sounds like it could be just overwhelming. Did you say anything to her? Like, what's going on?
Well, I mean, like, afterwards, I'd be like, wow, I got some pretty deep scratches on me, you know, kind of like hinting towards it's not cool to do that, and she's just like, oh, sorry, and stuff like that, but
it almost makes you think like it's a movie. Like she saw that in a movie, or she thinks that's what she's supposed to do.
Or she's traumatized and she's, you know, acting out all kinds of stuff and trying to reel you into something where she's reenacting something and you could easily re-traumatize her, make her angry.
And also, this kind of thing is a woman who is trying to
scratch you.
Trying to not be intimate, because actually isn't about intimacy. So that's where she may have issues.
That's a good point, Simone. Because you don't, no matter how freaky, quote unquote, you are in the bedroom, you don't scratch someone until you bleed that you care about. You don't do that to someone.
Violent. I mean, like, that's violence.
But it's not that she might not care about him because she only just met him, but it's
that she's
a bit freaked out.
Yeah. What do they say? She's a dream in the streets and a freak in the sheets.
Billy, when you discussed it with her, did she seem embarrassed at all?
No, not really. But like, then when it came to doing it again or something, I'd say like I'm busy or something because I wanted to avoid all the
what a shame
the drama
and stuff going on that happened in sex.
I mean, there could be a man out there, and maybe she was looking for you to be that kind of guy that would be all into it, either to receive it or to dish it back out to her. I mean, people do all kinds of crazy stuff in bed, but it doesn't mean you have to like it. You don't have to do it, you know? If you don't like it, don't do it.
Yeah, it's kind of awkward for me.
Sounds really, really, also like an infection could occur, right? If she has dirty fingernails.
But Andrew hits on something very important, Billy. No, regardless of who's involved, if the tables were turned, a young lady was calling up and say, this guy is doing physical things to me in the bedroom that make me feel uncomfortable, we all would be like, hey, first things first, you don't need to do anything you feel uncomfortable about. The same goes for a guy. I mean, you shouldn't be forced to engage in stuff that you feel uncomfortable with, even if it is in the bedroom, you know? So have a talk with this young lady. Chris, thank you for calling Loveline.
Hi. My question is sort of for Andrew, but it could be answered by anybody. I understand that you, Andrew WK, your parents are academics, and my parents are academics too. And coming from that background, I was wondering if you could give me some advice on how to kind of, like, unleash my party side, because I'm an introvert and I really like the idea of just being crazy and stuff like that, but I find it really difficult because I come from this reserved family. So.
That's a great question. My dad is a professor. My mom actually helped balance it out because she, chose to be a mom, was very active in volunteer work and, you know, getting involved with my brother and I and all that we did. But she actually was not an academic, and that helped balance out the intensity that my dad would sometimes apply. He wanted me to go to college. He wanted me to become a law professor like him, or at least to get into law. Or he fantasized about that, thought that would be really cool. But ultimately, they wanted me to do what I wanted to do. The other part, though, of your question that's really neat is this idea of wanting to be free and extroverted, like you're talking about, but not feeling somehow motivated enough or comfortable enough to do that. And I felt that way for many, many years. Then I found, performing in rock music, and that gave me a cause, a reason to go out there and put myself out of the comfort zone.
Yeah, I should probably just go be a rock star.
Or do something. You got to find the thing that lets you be free, that lets you lose that sense of yourself in that exhilarating way.
Definitely.
Ego death is a good experience to go through.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris, for the call.
Yeah, great question.
She touched on something that I wanted to kind of subsequently build off of. You're a young man, and you've got all these ideas and all these great, there's a lot of passions for a bunch of different things. Coming from a guy who has become successful in many different fields, better to focus in on one thing and then build off of that? Or do you keep going and writing and doing music and, working on a TV show or whatever it may be?
That's a very good question. I don't have an answer. I'm still figuring it out. There's an amazing artist, like a visual artist that I admire and finally had the chance to meet, named Lucas Samaras. And he said to me, offering me advice that I didn't really ask for, you shouldn't split your energy too much, because you only have so much power and so much light. And if you focus that light, like a spotlight, on a pinpointed area, it is much brighter than diffusing it over a larger amount of material or work or activities. But then I told him, well, what if my pinpointed choice is to be Andrew WK? What if that's my work? And that whatever comes with that is, as far as my gut instinct goes, it fits into the show or whatever. Right. I mean, it's a tricky thing. But, I mean, Dr. Drew, you're someone that I would like to ask and get your feedback on this, because you're doing all kinds of stuff. It falls under a similar umbrella. But
yeah, absolutely. I've always thought, first of all, I like doing different things every day. I don't like doing the same thing.
But my question, Drew, is 23-year-old Drew had to focus on one thing,
yes,
and then it branched out.
Yes, it's true. Yes, there is a time to focus, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, did you, Andrew, focus on music, and then from there, once you established yourself, you were able to build it with the motivational speaking and stuff like that? Or was this always your plan to be so multifaceted?
No, I mean, I like the arts, I guess, is the way, like the living arts. I like visual art, I like music, I like performing, so it's all under the umbrella of entertainment in some way. I mean, I'm not into, doing science on the side or, building a car on the other side. It fits together for me. It seems very organic and natural to me. But when I do see it listed on a page, it can seem a bit unfocused. But I just trust my instinct and figure this road will take me where I'm meant to go.
Awesome. Awesome parting words. And I mean parting words, unfortunately, because it is time for you to go. But everybody needs to go to AndrewWK.com. Find out when the I Get Wet tour is coming to your town. Get tickets at Ticketmaster.com. If you haven't seen Andrew live, honestly, you haven't experienced one of the greatest things you can possibly do. And if you have seen Andrew live, I can guarantee you're probably going to the tour when it comes to your town. So thank you, man. Let me shake your hand.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure when you come in.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Lovely
Andrew.
The open forum happens in just under 5 minutes. That's where you, the Loveline audience, take over the show and enlighten us on the topic at hand. Tonight's topic is, how do you initiate sex? How do you properly initiate sex?
That's in a committed relationship, though.
Right. I mean,
not somebody in a one-night stand, but if you're with someone, right?
Just less of a move and more initiating in the bedroom.
This all spawned from a call we took a couple shows ago of a young man who was just upset at how his girlfriend tried to initiate sex.
Right.
She was too coarse, and it turned him off. So what's the right way to properly do it if you're in a committed relationship? It is now time for Drew Sounds Off. So, Drew, sound off.
Well, everybody, guess what? Stokey's pregnant.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. This may come as a shock. Andrew, may come as a shock. This heavy drinking, alcohol swilling, promiscuous, irresponsible young woman, pregnant. Shocking. Ugh. Shocking, I tell you.
Wow.
And I was just taking an inventory tonight about the other things going on in the world. Syrian civil war, Iranian nuclear crisis, presidential primaries, mortgage crisis, healthcare insurance reform. But everybody, Snooki's pregnant. Snooki's pregnant. It's on the front page of every magazine. Literally, she's become for me the poster child of the unraveling of, well, I understand that the due date of this child roughly coincides with the end of the Aztec calendar. So, do I need to say much more about this? However, because we're a little bit of a time crunch, let me just say this. This is an example of what consumers need to do. You understand that Snooki is about to spawn something, and what she's spawning more than anything else is cultural decay. And I do not blame her. We've got all these people that are pissed off at the guys that are on Jersey Shore and Snooki. How dare they? They're this. They're a-holes. No, they're not. Somebody hired them. They're doing their job. They're just being the people that they are. They got some issues. But you all are buying the magazines, you're watching the show, and this is what drives me insane. It is not about the people that are doing the things that make us crazy. It's about us for consuming it. So, stop this crap, stop buying the crap, stop watching the crap, and stop complaining.
There it is.
I'm done sounding
off. There it is. Wow.
Dr. Drew, laying down the law. Again, go to andrewwk.com and get your tickets for the I Get Wet Tour. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you again.
It is time for the open forum. Call us up. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number for the Trojan Studios. You, the Loveline audience, are now going to take over the show. Fill us in on how you feel about tonight's topic. How do you initiate sex? What is the proper way to initiate sex in a committed relationship? Remember, there's a live video stream at lovelineshow.com and a thriving Facebook community. Facebook.com/Loveline is how you get there. 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's do some open forum. Oh, yeah, it's Loveline, everybody. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. Dr. Drew, I remember one time you and I went to an award show. I can't remember which one it was, but who is he? Stevens. He was a radio personality, like a famous.
Yes.
And he was the kind of voiceover guy.
It was the Prism Awards, I think.
And the whole night, I felt like such a loser because he had this booming, powerful voice. And I got on stage, I was like, hi, everybody. I'm a professional broadcaster. And that's how I feel when Andrew W.K. leaves because he has that amazing voice. Full voice. But please bear with me, Loveline audience. It's time for you to take over the show with the open forum. How do you initiate sex? That is the open forum topic for this evening. So call us up. Let us know how to properly initiate sex. Philip, thank you for calling Loveline.
Hey, what's up?
What up, Philip?
Not much. I mean, as far as relationships, I mean, I kind of try and take it a little bit slow, you know, just casual foreplay, that kind of thing. Just kind of something gentle, you know.
Okay, but
like a gentle touch on the leg, something like that.
Okay, so it's physical with you. It's not a verbal thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what about kissing?
Yeah, you know, definitely a little bit of that. Try and kind of read off of whatever the girl's kind of into, you know.
No, I think we're getting off quickly to the wrong direction.
Yes.
You're in a relationship. How do you start the process of getting towards having physical encounter? Who starts? How do you start? What's your move? This was triggered by a call we had where a guy was saying he was disgusted by how his girlfriend did that.
Hey, I love my girlfriend. We have a great relationship otherwise, but she'll just walk up to me and go, let's have sex now.
And in my experience, I hear when I take histories from couples, when I deal with sex issues, that initiating sex predominantly comes from the man and women can find it very, very difficult.
All right. Well, call us up. Let us know. How do you initiate sex? That is the open forum topic for this evening. Chris, what is the best way to initiate sex, Chris?
Well, me and my girlfriend, whenever one of us is in the mood, we have code words.
Like it. What are your code words?
Well, it's just an easy way of letting the other person know that we want to go to the bedroom if, say, we're in a group with area, like a group of friends or something. I mean, for instance, girlfriend just the other night, we're at a friend's house. She's like, hey, I need to go home. I need to take a shower. Well, I knew she'd take a shower before we went out, so I was like, oh, okay.
Well, don't you have a funny code word? Like,
know, zingy.
Elephant.
It's zingy time.
Bananas.
One time, I did tell her I needed to go home and grease my monkey wrenches.
That's a little on the nose there. It's got to be something a little far off. Like,
What kind of words does your girlfriend use?
She'll just say simple things like, oh, I need to go home and take a shower. Or I think the funniest time, she said she wanted to go home and make lemonade.
Now that I like.
I mean, that sounds like sex with R. Kelly. Here's your new code word, Chris.
What was that?
It's here's your new one, okay?
I want to have sex?
No. Mel Torme wants to sing tonight.
Oh, all right.
There it is. Sounds good. Gives you a romantic feel.
And can I just say, from a therapeutic point of view, using code words can be very useful for any woman listening. It can be an easier way to initiate sex rather than doing it verbally or physically. Mm. You know, rather than saying, oh, I'd really like sex. This is a great, great thing to do. Make up your little word.
Thank you for the call, Chris. Kylie, how do you initiate sex?
I wanted to call to let you guys know how cheesy my husband is, actually, at initiating sex.
All right, how do you do
it? Hear it.
One of the things that my husband has said to me is, will the bakery be open later so I can cream fill your pastry?
Oh, my God. Well,
but
then.
It made you laugh, did it?
Every time.
That's pretty solid. If you can pull off something that cheesy that it actually becomes funny, more power to you. I fail that's in that cute. Department because
yeah,
I just lie right.
Sure
I lie right in cheese. It's pure Kessel for me.
Yeah.
Ember, how do you initiate sex?
Walking into a room with lingerie on.
Okay, that's how he knows it's time to go.
Yeah. Well, now, it's normally like when they're like playing video games and you want to like get their attention, kind of just be forward with it and you just put it on and walk out in the room and they normally get the hint.
Are you married?
No.
Okay, good. Because I get skeeved out when married people say, my husband's playing video games.
Yes, I
always
agree.
Like, ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. A caveat, though, to women, in my opinion, Drew, tell me how you feel about this. If you are particularly not in the mood or busy and the girl does the lingerie, then you feel painted into a corner. And that can sometimes really take the mood out. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's not time for you,
so it's too aggressive, too far down the road.
Because of course, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be awesome. It's going to work. But if you're really busy, you got a project you have to get in, or you're studying for a test or something, and this girl walks in, it's like, here's my Victoria's Secret outfit I've just been taking, you know, 20 minutes to put on, and I know I look beautiful in it. If you don't immediately react the way she wants you to, now you're the dick.
Well, and also she can feel very hurt and think, well, my husband ignored me. And she's not looking at actually what her husband or her boyfriend's doing. And something that I advise is don't set someone up to fail. Mm. So it's reading the situation, knowing that he hasn't got a big job the following day or that he isn't playing video games or whatever you were talking about.
So like, not demanding too much of your partner.
Yeah. Mm. Just coming at it from the same direction.
There it is. How do you initiate sex? How do you properly initiate sex in a relationship? That's the open forum topic for tonight. And we're right in the middle of it. Maureen, thank you for calling Loveline. What's the way to initiate sex, Maureen?
I call my husband or ask my husband if his sugar levels are in the right position.
Is he diabetic?
He is a brittle diabetic.
Oh, my goodness. So let's say he actually becomes hyperglycemic or develops ketoacidosis. You're not allowed to ask him how his sugars are?
Oh, no. At the point that I notice a skin tone change, a slurred speech, a slight sweating.
You know he's in trouble.
I know he's in trouble, and we'll get him some juice or chocolate syrup, which actually has some extra.
What does he do with juice? I don't understand how that plays a role at all.
Pardon me?
Never mind.
Tell me again. Tell me again what the code is. How are your sugars levels?
Yes.
Are they high enough? Or how are they?
Well, I work late. I just got off work now.
And if he's not quite ready, does he say I have to adjust my insulin?
Sometimes.
Nice.
And
nice.
A lot of times he'll go, you know, nope, things are good. You know, how are you feeling? Or, you know, he'll say, hey, you want to...
coming in for a landing?
If he's not in the mood, he says, I have to adjust my insulin. If he is, he goes, you need to adjust my skinsulin. What? That was horrible.
Nice.
1-800-LOVE-191. We're doing the open forum right now. That's where you, the Loveline audience, fill us in on how you feel about the topic at hand. How do you initiate sex? That's the question. Casey, how do you do it?
I normally start off by honestly just pulling down his pants and then, you know, going down, and he loves it.
All right, Casey, there we go, huh? That's a little further down the road even than the lingerie, so...
I agree, but... that is the absolute no fail. I will say that. I mean, that is.
But how about if he does fail? How bad is he going to feel?
I'm sorry. What was that?
If he does, if that doesn't work, has that ever not worked?
No.
Oh, yeah. Casey,
I've got to ask though. How old are you, Casey?
I'm sorry. I had to say how long.
How old are you?
Oh, I'm 21.
Okay, and the guys that you're performing oral sex on?
He's 21 too.
Yeah.
I'm
close.
I got 11 years on a 21-year-old. Believe me, no matter how much I'm not in the mood, that is the ultimate I can't turn it down, because you're pretty much you're demanding it in a way that makes a guy physically ready and now can't.
But I'm saying you're talking like a 23-year-old male. There are guys as your age that just may not be.
Yeah, that actually.
I mean,
and also look, if you're occupied or stressed or do have a big work commitment, or Drew, you're rushing out the door and you've got to go and see a patient.
I know, Mike. I'm always suspect when guys use that as an excuse. Is there? How about how tired you are? When that happens, things aren't going to work. No matter how tired you are.
I'm now pulling from real, actual experience.
All right.
I have many a time in my life been like, look, I just got to write this song for tomorrow morning's morning show. I can't do it.
Can't do it because I have to leave or I have to do something, whatever.
Right. Then the pants come off and you pull the Casey, call the Casey.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I end up completing the act. You know, So I'm just using myself as an example. It seems to be the one no-fail way to go. But it also seems to be pretty aggressive. Hey, Joel, what is your way for initiating sex?
Okay. I just want to tell all my listeners.
My listeners.
That this is the ultimate way if you want to get some pussy. So.
Joel,
you're in a relationship and you're going to initiate with your partner. That's what we're talking about tonight, right?
Is this George Clooney? Is that you?
Yeah, that's me. You got it, baby.
Sir Walter Raleigh, I think, is who this is.
Mike, what's the best way to initiate sex?
Hi, guys. Well, I've been married about 4 years, 3 kids. I work about 70 hours a week, sometimes more. So, you know, our times, you know, when they do come, they're special. You know, we have the big kids. We're all in the room. But just simple things like I'm hardly home, so a peck on the cheek or a kiss on the mouth is a goodbye and hello. Anything longer than that, we know something's about to happen.
Oh.
Who does it? Who usually does something longer, you or she?
Either or. With us? I mean, I don't know if it's because we've been married or because we have the kids or simple things like all of a sudden I turn over in bed and hold her, you know, if she feels something coming along or she backs into me a little bit, we know, okay, well, here we go.
I think that's actually quite common.
Well, however, I agree with you, Simone. However, what I hear him saying is if we brush up against each other, we're going to have sex. Because we see each other so little.
Let's rub my pelvis up against her.
We see each other so little. Yeah, we have contact. That's more than hello or goodbye. We're going to have sex.
I see my wife 1 hour a week, so usually I just bang up against her and we know something's going down.
The kiss off, what he was talking about, is very good. This is what couples shouldn't do. That peck on the cheek when it's lingering and longer, that is a great way. Not only you pass testosterone through saliva, it can be a really good indicator that my loins are ready.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number to call the Trojan Studios, where we do this show, and now's the time to do it because it is the open forum where you, the Loveline audience, weigh in on the topic at hand. How do you initiate sex? What is the appropriate way to do it if you're in a relationship? Our friend Chili out there on Facebook, she says, my ex and I had a code word, Jamal. Whenever we were out with friends and wanted to sneak away or something, we would tell the other, oh, I forgot, but Jamal said hi and he wanted to hang out for a bit or something like that, and we knew it was time for action. So, if you're like Chili and you have a code word, or if you have some silly habit that lets your partner know that it's time, let us know what it is. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. The open forum is your time. You, the Loveline listener, so call up. Let us know. How do you initiate sex? That's the topic at hand. 1-800-LOVE-191 is that number. Once again, it's Loveline.
Condoms. With triple-tested quality, they're an amazing 40% thinner than our standard condoms for an irresistibly close experience.
Stay tuned for more Loveline.
Go. Joining us, Dr. Drew Kinski, host of Loveline.
Loveline, yes it is. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number to call us up here in the Trojan Studios, the people who put condoms on your genitalia. Open forum. It's great. It's where we do not tell you how we feel. It's where you, the Loveline audience, tell us how you feel about the topic at hand. Tonight's topic is, how do you initiate sex? How do you properly initiate sex in a relationship? John, how do you initiate sex?
Hey, I personally feel the best way that's worked for me is to feel the vibe and then go in for a kiss first. And from there, I kind of play the bases. And if she's okay with it, then we'll go. And if not, I can kind of feel my way from there. But I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
I am with a girl that I've been with for 2 years now, love her to death, but when we got together, she started to gain a little bit of weight. Still love her. She looks great. I'm just curious as to how I could possibly motivate her without being an asshole.
You have to call back on Sunday night when a personal trainer from The Biggest Loser will be here, and we will touch on that, how you can deal with weight gain in a relationship.
Who is it?
The black guy.
Okay, got it. Who's Eric?
Duvet, right?
Oh, yeah.
Dolvet.
A good guy.
Yeah, you know he's cool.
Yeah.
I don't forget his name. But he's the handsome African-American one. Yep. Eric. Yeah, Eric. How do you initiate sex?
See, I don't initiate sex because here's my point is that I think it's weird. If you're in a relationship and you have to, like, do some weird code term or, like, do some weird thing to have sex with your partner, then it's just... it's not going to work.
You, having a bunch of kids sitting around the table, Mommy, I want dinner. And you're like, what do I...
It's stupid. The chick's talking about coming in with her boyfriend's playing video games and laundry. Like, really? Does that really happen? I mean, like, where does this chick live?
No, Eric.
Let's talk about you, Eric. What's the longest relationship you've been in?
I was in a 9-year relationship, and we never... it was just on. You know, like, if it was, like, going to be on, you're like, you knew it right then. You're like,
good for you. You're lucky.
Hey, Leroy's out tonight.
Well... Eric, slow down. I happen to agree with you, and I was talking about this off the air when we first developed the idea for this open forum topic. I was like, in successful relationships, is that really an issue? Do you have to initiate sex? It shouldn't happen. Shouldn't it just happen organically?
Once again, gents, a couple decades into a relationship, a few kids hanging around, it's kind of nice to have a way of communicating that you can, the two of you know what you're talking about.
Sure.
Your kids don't.
No, fair enough, Dr. Drew. Like, if you got kids, then you got to have some weird code term.
There
right?
you go.
I understand that.
It's not going to be weird, but you have...
And the dude's playing a video game, and you got to be like, is Leroy, like...
the Eagles left the building.
really. Right all right, Eric. I think we all agree with him. I think we agree with you.
In spirit.
In spirit, we do.
I agree with partly what he's saying, but we've also got to understand that if you are looking in a couple where there are one partner has less libido than the other, then it can be very difficult and put a lot of pressure on one person to constantly turn the other person down if you aren't able to vocalize
it. And people, if someone is not initiating, they don't feel desired, and there can be lots of issues involved in this. But in spirit, he's right. It's nice when it's just on.
Absolutely.
In spirit.
And even if it doesn't have to be on and popping like a gang fight where it's just you guys give each other a look, you burst into sex. I mean, I think that
like the flames.
Right. Like, I've always felt like, look, the relationships that were doomed, like Eric said, we always did. There always had to be some kind of rigmarole to get to a point where we were sexually ready for each other. And the relationships that I've been in that were great, we did. It just, you kind of both mutually understood that it was now time to express that level of intimacy.
And so what I'm hearing you saying is that the relationships that worked for you had good communication, and as a result of it, you were sexually in sync.
I mean, I think so, but I mean, above and beyond even communication, because the relationships that I'm talking about that were good didn't last because of lack of verbal communication, but we had a kind of a unsaid understanding sexually.
Which is communication.
Sure,
as well.
Sure. Yeah, it's the unspoken communication. And sure enough, I'm thinking about serious relationships in my life. The ones that were dead in the water were the ones where it's like, okay, well, it's Tuesday night. You know what that means. The eagle has left the building and blue suede shoes are on the feet of the donkey. Hey, Jenna, thank you for calling Loveline. How do you initiate sex, Jenna?
Hi. I usually don't, but my boyfriend will, and somehow we came up with the code, like a little code word. We call it smurfing. We both play Smurf Village on an app. So he'll ask if he can, like...
What is, given that I sounded off on Snooki tonight, what would she call it? Smushing or something?
Smushing.
It's almost like smushing, but it's not as, like, gross. We like to keep it really playful, so it's not, like, awkward. Like,
is that it? Like, smurfing your only code?
Well, we'll do other things, like, we'll call each other, like, a hamster is, like, each other's, like...
And it's really
like
interesting
that.
With Jenna, because all of these words that she's using just don't conjure up any kind of sexual...
adolescence.
Fantasy.
Yeah. Can we deport Jenna? Is that like
no? Jenna's
deport her
cute.
Where?
It's somewhere not here. Andrew, thank you for calling
Jenna.
Loveline.
Hi.
How do you initiate sex?
We would start speaking, like asking a question, and just kind of lay it trail off. So a lot of do you wanna? Would you like to go to? And then just kind of.
Okay, Andrew, I do not mean to judge what works for you guys, but that sounds uncomfortable.
It does. It was never really intentional, and there's a lot of funny moments that would happen.
I was going to say, it sounds like a Seinfeld episode.
It sounds right, exactly. like an uncomfortable George moment.
Yeah.
Or
oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay,
all
fair
right.
enough.
That's how
but
Andrew
clearly,
pulled it off.
It was Look, had positive results.
If it works, man, if it works, that's how you roll. Good for you. John... How do you initiate sex?
Me and my wife have been together for 4 years, and we have a code word. We're in a group of people. We say, let's get the massage oil.
And your friends in social situations don't ask, why do you want massage oil right now?
Nope, because they know my wife loves massages, and I, as long as I include the oil part of it, our lotion, she knows what I want, and she's willing to go.
As long as she gets the massage.
Yeah.
John rips so hard. 1-800-LOVE-191.
We've got a lot of callers that kind of rip tonight.
They do. I love it. A lot of Hito Ricks. LovelineShow.com is where you got to go to see the live video stream of this show right now as you listen to me. You get a live video feed of the Trojan Studios in Los Angeles, California, IEA. Joshua, how do you initiate sex?
All right. First of all, you know, no words need to be said. I mean, if you're going to love the woman, you know, take her, you know, like how I like to take her by the neck, you know, get her antsy, get her wet,
get her going. And that's, you know, that's how you initiate love. You get the woman horny. Because you're not going to sit there. I mean, you can use words. Don't get me wrong. Words can be used. But to initiate sex, you got to make the woman feel sexy. You got to make her feel wanted. You got to make her feel loved and turned on. And, you know, that's the way to do it. That's
how
the way to sink the deal.
Do you make a woman feel loved, Joshua?
How do I make a woman feel loved? You know, honestly, it all starts with the first look. You get the look, you get it in the eyes, and then after that, you know, you got to be sensual. I think the most sensual, most intimate, best sex is when the words aren't spoken. It's when there's moans, there's groans, there's sexy things.
Moans, Vernus? Said.
Does she not think you're in pain sometimes if you do that?
Well, you know, it depends. I mean, in pain, you know, I don't know. It depends how hard, you know, how hard you're going at it.
I completely went off on this 50 Shades of Grey thing tonight.
Oh, did
on
you?
On HLN. You have got to read that book. It is such a piece of S.
I don't want to after
please,
you said it, but
no,
I'm going to watch
I need
show.
Your input. I need okay. your input. And you need to watch the show, too, because it was, I just went completely bonkers on it.
Joshua, thank you for the call. We have time
what
for...
triggered your mind with Joshua?
Because he's like, oh, I was...
Moaned,
that
groaned,
book has
pains.
Descriptions of scenes like that. And I'm plodding through them going, oh, for God's sakes. Come on. And the girl's like, oh, it's so sexy. That's not sexy.
Listen, okay. Thank you for everybody who called for the open forum. That was an awesome one, actually. It went really well. We need to know tomorrow night on the next open forum, what do you like about being in a relationship?
Oh, this is going
to
be lovely.
What are the positives of being in a relationship? What are the positives to not being single? What do you like about being in a relationship? That is the open forum for tomorrow night. Dr. Drew, I would like to ask you this, and I don't need you to answer now, but maybe to ponder for the future. What is it in particular about women that makes them ripe for being bamboozled by really bad stuff in the arts? You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's probably the same thing that
because
that allows a-hole men to bamboozle them when they're young.
My point,
you know what I'm saying?
Let me give this caveat, and I'm not just saying this to protect myself. I mean this wholeheartedly. Women are, for most of the women in my life, are far smarter than most of the guys I know. Mm-hmm. They're and I'll talk to really intelligent, very ambitious, very high functioning women. Women like Simone, who loves Sex and the City, or loves
Friends.
Now Friends is a great show, but I mean like Twilight, for instance. I'll talk to high powered. I know a high powered female attorney. Yeah. She's 30 years old. She's like, I have to go to the new Twilight movie. I go, why? You know it sucks going in. She goes, I have to go. It's just you don't understand it. You're not a woman. What is
correct.
It about?
I don't think – I'm not sure that – I'm not sure that's a bridge – a gap that can be bridged.
Okay.
I'm
it's
really,
just the way it is?
Look at this. Look at the knowing smile on this one.
I haven't seen Twilight, but I do enjoy really rubbish movies. I'm not saying
you
that
knew
Twilight
going
is.
Into Sex and the City Part 2, that movie was going to suck bad.
I knew
but you had to go see it, right?
Yeah.
Part of it is, you know what part of it is? Through talking about the 50 Shades of Grey thing, I found out tonight that we extrapolate into reality, pragmatically. Like, that wouldn't happen. People aren't like that. That person in real life would be a horrible person. And they're like, no, it's fantasy.
We enjoy the fantasy.
The fantasy.
Exactly.
We're like, yeah, maybe fantasy, but it's reflective of real people with agency. And those people I know in real life, and they're horrible. So I don't want to watch movies about them. I don't want to think about them. You shouldn't be thinking about them.
I'm sorry to get
fantasy.
The show on
we
such a tangent.
Go.
I apologize. 1-800-LOVE-191. But it is something for future thought, maybe. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number straight ahead. We're going to talk to a guy who thinks he's a sociopath.
Nice.
Interesting, but maybe a little bit sad. We'll see. Straight ahead on Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline. Don't wait. Call today.
I believe our sociopath.
He is gone. He's a manipulative sociopath, and he let us down.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number to call us up here in the Trojan Studio. Scott, what's happening, brother? Thank you for calling Loveline, Scott.
Not my first time caller.
Oh, cool.
Welcome, Scott.
Thank you. So my question is, I was doing chores around the house when it was a work day, and my girlfriend is working too, and we're just doing chores. I suggested that we should find some time together this evening, and she responded, only if I get my chores done and I do enough. And I believe she was serious.
That's a common thing, Simone. Mm. We did a Life Changers thing on this, didn't we? Go ahead.
It is very, very common. Women can feel like, first of all, if they have grown up in a sense where they've had to do lots of homework, where they've had to do things to earn affection, then this can be replicated in their adult relationships. So spontaneity may be very difficult for your wife, and she may feel that she needs to earn affection, and she also may need to feel that she needs to be in control. And when a house is clean for a woman, when she does jobs, that's when she can feel in control. On a practical,
wait, no, he has to do the chores though, right? Oh, she has to finish
the
chores.
She has to finish.
Do you have to?
I have to finish. Or basically, she says I have to do enough, and
he has to take the trash out.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said that she needed to finish the
chores. No, he needs to take the trash out.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Simone's like, yeah? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So?
Sorry.
Simone's literally like, oh, really? Is this an unusual... isn't that what you're supposed to do?
How do you feel about that, Scott? Because are you feeling that... Do you imagine that your wife isn't feeling appreciated around the home?
Well, I feel like she's saying that if I do enough, I'll get it, and then if I don't, and then I'm not going to, and I kind of took offense from it.
Well, okay, so maybe what she's trying to say, and she isn't saying clearly in a way that you understand it, is that for her to have sex, she needs to feel loved and appreciated. And part of being loved and appreciated is a guy going the extra mile. And for women, that can be helping around the home.
So what I've heard Simone say this many, many times, that a turn-on is taking the trash out.
Yep. Do the housework, get more sex.
There you go.
Period.
So I shouldn't take offense to it.
No, it's a normal thing.
Don't take offense, but I would ask her, are you feeling underappreciated?
Okay.
There you go. Good luck, Scott.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Hey, Sabrina, thank you for calling Loveline. What's poppin'?
Hi. I just wanted to know, when is the appropriate time to go ahead and make the first move and call to, after you hook up with someone?
How random is the hookup?
It's not really that random. It was with this guy that I had met about 8 months ago. But the thing is, I was really into him, but I'd just gotten out of a bad breakup, so I didn't want to really pursue it. It's been a while since then. I'm over it. So we hooked up the other day, and I don't really know where we're at. And so I don't want to call and I don't know if I should just wait and hold back for him to call or...
How about a text?
Well, is texting, okay, or does that seem like...
Jeez, it's such a youthful sort of medium. I would think it would be okay, Mike, within 5 to 7 days.
Hookups have their own.
I'm not like this guy who has these, where it's like,
rules.
You gotta be 3 days.
Yeah.
Some chicks, I feel compelled to call them that night.
Well,
after going
right,
on
I was gonna say, it's
one.
A little peculiar that he hasn't reached out to her.
Some chicks, I did wait a week. It's just, you gotta.
Sabrina, my advice would be, I think where Mike was going there and Dr. Drew, make your own rules because, quite frankly, it's the uncertainty of not knowing what is happening that can be far more painful and excruciating than actually knowing that you're not going to hook up again or you
but
are.
Isn't it a little bit weird, though, he hasn't reached out? Anybody?
He could be Mike Catherwood part two, and he loves this chick, and he's scared S-less and won't call her.
All right.
And she has to do all the work.
Okay.
There is a very good book.
It hasn't been too many days. It hasn't been a week just yet. But that's how come I'm not really sure if I should just wait it out.
How old is he?
On a week.
I need to ask some questions. How old is he?
24.
And were you drunk when you hooked up?
No.
Okay. You definitely have, you're in there with this guy. He's just a guy like me and doesn't have any game. So call him, okay?
Okay. All right.
Can't hurt.
If he was hammered and they got and he's probably like regretting it, then I would say, you know what, lay back. But if he was stone sober and hooked up with her, he's obviously somewhat interested. What's the worst that could happen if she calls?
See, I really, really take issue with men who don't call women after they've slept
Why?
With them.
Why?
They didn't say they slept together.
Yeah.
A hookup is a...
That's what you meant.
Hold on. Sabrina.
No, we didn't sleep together.
Yeah. Oh.
I know young people talk.
Oh.
So define hookup.
So, well, we went and I give him a blowjob and then I finished him off with a hand job.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Now, hello. In my definition, that's sleeping together. That's sex.
All right.
Mike, you're all right with that?
No. No, because like, girls are particularly protective of their vaginas.
Yeah.
That's a whole different world. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, don't get wrong.
I'm saying.
That's pretty intimate.
Okay.
That's pretty intimate to do that, what she did. But there's a whole, like, in my book, I look at a girl first night. There's a difference between a girl who was nice enough to do that to me and a girl who I slept with.
Oh, for goodness sake. A guy who accepts that from a woman and they engage in together and he can't pick up the phone if he's interested?
Oh, yeah. You don't get wrong.
That's what I'm saying. It's a little weird.
That's the right move. But there are plenty of guys who, like, he may think that Sabrina's not into him.
Really?
Yeah.
She pulled down his pants?
Yeah, but girls do that to me all the time, and I'm not positive that they're into me.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, here's the thing. I'm sure there's plenty
of
other...
What evidence do you need?
I don't know. I mean, look, Sabrina, in my opinion... You should get a phone call from him. Like, that would be the gentlemanly thing to do. But he may just be a knucklehead, and he's sitting there confused, hoping we could pull something off.
Or he may be a real knucklehead.
Or he's got another girlfriend.
Yeah, that was just that night.
1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. You know, Dr. Drew, you are a specialist. You are an expert when it comes to addiction. I am someone who has dealt with addiction. But you and I... We never really banged out the food.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't often dive into the food addiction. But straight ahead, we're going to have to. Mm-hmm. Plus, Simone Bien's takeaway coming up next on Loveline.
Loveline with Dr. Drew will be right back.
Loveline. It's true. And you're my friends. Thank you all for coming, my friends, to this wonderful party here at the Trojan Studios. 1-800-LOVE-191. That's a big 191er. Roger that. That's the number to call us up here in the Trojan Studios. Hey, Josh, thank you for calling. What's up, dude?
Yeah, so first off, the British girl's voice is kind of cute, actually.
Thank you, Josh.
Okay, let me tell you. So the thing about fast food is, I'm not going to mention the name of fast food places. I don't know if it's illegal or something. But anyways, whenever I start the first meal, like, I won't be that hungry. Like, whenever I start, like, the first sandwich, I'll want to start order the second, the third, and the fourth, and I can't stop. Although I don't eat too much food if it's, like, a cooked food, homemade, you know? And I'm not that fat. Like, I'm not fat at all. But I just want to know, like... is there anything in the fast food put there, or
salt and fat? Yeah, you like all that sort of yummy, gratifying stuff, which is why they make it that way. It's because humans have a natural, particularly young humans, have a natural drive for those sorts of sources of calorie.
Yeah, but like the thing is kind of different, actually. Like, I'm pretty sure the homemade food is much, much better.
Of course it is, but it doesn't have that yummy factor.
And also, something to do with the process of actually creating the food does control your appetite. I'm fascinated by human metabolism, dieting, and all that stuff, so I can tell you. I'm almost to a fault. I'm so interested in it. And there's huge studies that when you cook your own food, or if you're involved at all in preparing the food, there you eat substantially less.
I see. But, like, isn't there something about, like, the food that they make, like, the process?
There's a possibility, Josh, that the preservatives and, like Dr. said, the high amounts of sodium and other kind of sugar additives in the bread products and things maybe make you crave it more. But the bottom line is that you're eating junk food, and junk food tends to be less satiating in an immediate sense, and so you can eat more of it.
But the thing, like,
where are we going with this? Right, come on, guys.
What do you want me to do?
Yeah,
Josh, don't do it. You know, if you need help with
but
addiction,
the thing is, you really like it. Yeah, I get that. There you go.
Hey, Lucy, thank you for calling Love Line. What's popping?
Hey, I'm a 26-year-old lesbo with an issue. I've done the online dating thing, OkCupid, which is like one of the best ones out there. All those algorithms really are supposed to help you find your match, and done plenty of fish, and everyone on there has got the intelligence and reading level of a fifth grader, and so I don't know where to meet girls. I go online, I get flakes or retards, and I go to the bar, and it's all one-night stands, so help me out.
Have you got any friends who are gay?
Yeah, they're all guys. And so, like, they try to be my wingman, you know, but I'm always going with them to the gay male stuff. And right. I'm just, like, at a loss. I don't know.
Where do you live? Here in L.A.?
Well, I technically live in San Diego, but I'm in L.A. at the moment.
Okay. I found from my really over-the-top hot lesbian friend that she said the best place for her, where she found her current girlfriend, a long-term girlfriend, is she joined a gym in a in an area where there's a high predominance of gay and lesbians.
Yeah, okay.
What about, you know, getting involved in some sort of cultural activity? I mean, you seem interested in something that stimulates you cognitively, you know, intellectually. Why not get involved in some sort of projects or hobbies or something where you're looking
groups.
For? Yeah, groups.
Art classes.
Cooking class.
And I wonder whether they do this here. I guess this would have come from America.
Lesbian sex? Yes, they do.
I'll ask Lucy.
I don't need a class on that.
If you look online, there may be very casual group dating events. So, for example, you all single people, and this may be all gay single people, go to a theatre group together, you know, or go out to have a picnic together.
Disneyland day.
Really,
everybody wears red. That's how you can. I'm serious. They have a special day, and you throw on your red shirt. It lets people know. It's like, oh, there it is. That's my gaydar.
Perfect. Boom. So something like that. You might just want to do some more searches, but don't give up.
Lucy,
ask whether
I will say this. This is a universal problem that not only gay and lesbians deal with. You, when you're in your late teens to mid 20s, it's a big problem that, you know, what the kind of meat market singles bars seem to be too extreme. And then the places where you go on the other end seem to be too heady. And you just kind of got to put yourself out there and hope to find that person at the supermarket or at like some. The best advice we can always give, regardless of your sexual proclivities, is get involved in social activities where you surround yourself with people that have common interests as you.
And the one thing that I would say, Lucy, is sometimes, yeah, it's difficult. Sometimes when we try too hard, that's when we can be too intense about things. If you just sit back and let go, and as Dr. Drew was saying, just go out and enjoy yourself and try and extend your social circle, then...
You totally had your finger on the button there.
Good.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we're here.
Well, speaking of gays, my gay lover Micah, or in his dreams, no one loves my butt more than Micah, our number one fan and my number one gay fan. From tonight's open forum, I'm picking up on the message that you're sending me that you're shy and need me to initiate. So I'll be outside the studio when the show is over with some poppers and a bucket of lube.
Wow.
So that's how you initiate
Speaking
sex.
Of poppers and lube, isn't it time for Simone's takeaways?
Dr. Drew!
I'm just saying. It just occurred to me.
Now, when have have I ever
never but it just jarred my memory for a second.
All right, Drew, thank you for that amazing segue. Radio professional Dr. Drew Pinsky reminded me that it is in fact time for Simone's takeaway.
Okay, now have you ever asked your partner to do a small job in the morning, but the end of the day he hasn't done it? So I'm talking to ladies. You might think he's being lazy, but actually, I mean, yes, you could be right. Another thing to consider is they might not have actually understood you. And here's why. Women speak indirectly to each other. It's the way that we stay close and we bond. Men, far more direct, maybe to the point when women think they're being rude. So as a woman, if you need some help with a job from a man, you need to be direct and speak in his language and include specific instructions, and that includes with a time limit. So if you want a parcel picked up from the post office, ask him whether he can do it tonight on his way home before it shuts. Now, being direct can actually be quite difficult for some women to master at first, but keep it up, because the chances are you're going to have less disagreement because you're understanding each other better. And that's my takeaway for today.
Fantastic.
That is so accurate.
Yeah, that's actually very valuable knowledge for both men and women to have. Thank you for that, Simone. I actually think we have time for one more call. Eric, thank you for calling Loveline.
Hey, everyone, just wanted to say, Simone, that accident was great. But, yeah, I had a question. There was this girl that I got back in touch with, and we spent, like, three months talking, and I did something for Valentine's Day. And I dropped off a gift basket, and I had a little note in there that told her I had a crush on it. We only been contacting over Facebook because I thought it was maybe too much to ask for a number.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm going off for about a month to truck driving school, and I told her when I come back, could we have a picnic and do that? And I wanted to know, how do I go about just not messing up that first date, and is it okay to kiss her the first date?
It is definitely okay to kiss her on the first date, but don't be overbearing about it.
Read the signs.
Yes. There's no right or wrong answer that we can't tell you, oh, kiss her at the beginning, kiss her first date for sure. Everything changes with each first date, you know, that you got to be able to read her and understand if it's appropriate.
And interestingly, if a woman leans forward to you, she's unconsciously letting you know that actually it's okay for you to come forward. And if she tilts her head, that means also she doesn't find you unattractive. She finds you engaging.
What if she maces you? Is that a bad sign?
What's that? Pepper spray?
Yeah, yes.
Pepper spray. I think that might be Michael.
Okay, I'm just checking. I'm trying to, you know, draw from my own reference. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the number. If you couldn't get through tonight, do yourself a favor. Call us tomorrow night here in the Trojan Studios. We want to take your calls. Sorry if we couldn't get to you. 1-800-LOVE-191 is that number once again. Tomorrow night's open forum. What do you enjoy about being in a relationship? I think a very interesting topic. So start preparing your ideas, because you, the Loveline audience, take over during the open forum. Remember, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at Simone_BN, at Dr. Drew, at Mike Catherwood, and then at Loveline. LovelineShow.com is the place to be, my friends. One parting message. In this crazy mixed up world that makes you think that nobody cares, remember this one thing. We do. Be good, people.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on Loveline are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. Loveline is produced by Ann Engel, engineered by Anderson Cowan. Loveline is a product of Courtside Entertainment Group.
End of message.
The end of a perfect evening.
Something tells me the show's over.
The end of a perfect evening.
I've always admired your show.
Have you ever considered hosting your own talk show?
They have a radio show.
Something tells me the show's over.